upon this gifted age in its dark hour, rains from the sky, a meteoric shower of facts. They lie unquestioned, uncombined, wisdom enough to leech us of our ill. Is daily spun, but there exists no loom to weave it into fabric. That's Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Wow.
And, you know, for you, our listener, doesn't that just perfectly capture our modern world? It feels like we are absolutely swimming in facts and information.
Yeah, overwhelmed sometimes.
Exactly. Yet often feeling like we lack the wisdom, the loom maybe to really make sense of it all.
To weave it together, yeah.
Okay, so let's unpack this today. We're going to dive deep into a really remarkable loom, you could say, designed to weave those scattered facts into fabric.
And that would be the social process triangles.
That's right. The social process triangles and their companion, the corporate process triangles. Now, these aren't just abstract academic ideas. They're really powerful analytical tools.
Developed by the ICA Social Research Center.
Right. Yeah.
And then folks like Dr. Clancy Mann and John Epps refine them later.
Exactly. And they help us make sense of incredibly complex social systems. I mean, everything from huge global economies right down to, well, your own household.
So what's our mission here today? What are we trying to get out of this deep dive?
Good question. Our mission is really to pull out the core insights of these models, understand how they work in practice, their applications, and see why they're proving to be, frankly, invaluable, as some sources say, in today's world.
And to really get that, you have to understand where they came from. The origin story is pretty compelling, actually.
It is. And the sources we're drawing from today really paint that picture.
Yeah, we've got some great stuff. The ICA Social Research Center's own Our Social Process Model, pieces from the Transforming the Legacy Symposium program.
Workshop materials from C-Man on the social process triangles themselves, and also an article by John Epps from Winds and Waves, February 2012, from the Institute of Cultural Affairs International.
So a solid base to work from.
Definitely. And it's fascinating how these models even came about. Like I said, not some ivory tower exercise.
Yeah.
Our ICA source mentions this interesting point about human relations.
The psychologistic approach.
Yes. Traditionally,
yeah.
A lot of thinking was focused on the basically trying to manipulate people, figure out how to push buttons to get the most out of them.
Sort of managing people like resources.
Right.
Yeah.
But the source makes it really clear when these ideas were taking shape, especially working in the really tough environment of the slums of West Chicago.
Yeah.
That approach just would not have lasted 5 minutes. It fell apart.
Exactly. That reality, that crisis, really forced a fundamental rethink. They had to go beyond just individual psychology, which often felt like trying to control people, to
yeah.
something deeper, a sociological understanding of how people actually live and work together in these complex systems.
And this shift in perspective, it led to this core idea they call dynamical sociality. It sounds academic, but the insight is profound.
What is it? Essentially,
it's the idea that society is not substantialistic. That sounds jargony, but think of it like this. The source uses the analogy of natural science.
Right.
Like nobody ever saw or will ever see an atom.
Right.
You don't see the thing itself.
Right. You see the effects, the interactions.
Exactly. As the source puts it, the true reality isn't the atom itself, but the relationship, not the entity. It's all about the connections, the interplay.
Ah, okay. So it's a relational view. How does that apply to society then?
Well, similarly, in social science, there's no fixed substance called management or labor that you can just point to.
Right. Those aren't concrete things.
No. The sources emphasize that the reality, say in business, isn't the workforce or the capital in isolation. It's the interrelationship of those.
The way they connect and interact.
Precisely. And in society as a whole, this dynamic interplay is what they call the social process. It's described as dynamical.
Meaning it's always moving, always changing.
Yes. It's not composed of interrelationships or social substances or entities, but a matter of happenings. It's a constant flow of interactions and events, not static things, but happenings.
Okay, that's a big shift. If society is this constant flow, this social process of happenings, how on earth do you analyze it? It sounds incredibly complex.
It is complex, and that's exactly where the social process triangle comes in. It's the loom we mentioned.
Ah, the framework.
Right. The model basically says, look, this huge, complex social process can be understood by looking at three major interrelated dynamics, and they visualize it as a triangle.
So it gives you handles, points of focus within that complex flow.
Exactly. A way to screen the complexity. So
yeah.
Let's break down those three dynamics. What are they?
Okay. The first one, which they see as foundational, is the economic dynamic.
Makes sense. Got to start somewhere basic.
Right. This is essentially how society sustains itself in existence. Think basic survival, how we collectively manage that.
So what does that involve?
It breaks down into three core components. First, resources. Taking raw stuff from the environment and converting it into something usable.
Okay. Raw materials become resources.
Then production. Converting those resources into actual usable goods and services.
Right. Making things.
And finally, distribution. Building systems to actually get those goods and services to the people who need them.
Resources, production, distribution. Okay.
And the sources point out, you know, any major analysis of society, whether you go to Marx or Smith, it has to address these fundamental activities, how we survive.
Got it. That's the economic base. Mm-hmm. What's the next dynamic in the triangle?
The second is the political dynamic. Now, importantly, this isn't just politics like elections and parties, but polity. It's the fundamental organizing dynamic of society.
Organizing? How so?
Well, think about it. A community needs rules, right? Ways to make decisions together, ways to handle conflicts. That structure, that agreement on how we organize ourselves, that's polity.
So it's the framework that allows the economic stuff to even happen without chaos.
Exactly. The source says the economic process simply cannot go on without some form of organizing structure. It enables people to live and support themselves together.
Okay. Economic for survival, political for organization. What's the third, the one often put at the top?
That's the cultural dynamic. This is where, as the source puts it, the basic images of a society are created and transmitted from one generation to another.
The images, what does that encompass?
It's really about meaning and identity. It includes a society's core values, its collective wisdom, its unique style, its symbols, everything that gives it a distinct character and sense of shared understanding.
So the deep stuff, the why behind the what and how.
You could say that. And what's really key here is how these three dynamics, economic, political, cultural, interact.
Right. They're in separate boxes.
Not at all. The source mentions they can definitely be in tension with each other. Think about economic needs clashing with cultural values, for example.
Sure. That was all the time.
But they are also deeply complementary. They need each other. They're interdependent and constantly shaping one another.
So the triangle isn't just three separate points, it's the relationship between them.
Precisely. And the power of this triadic model, this division, is that it provides a comprehensive screen for looking at social issues. It forces you to take a broader perspective.
Instead of just focusing on, say, the economic aspect of a problem, you're prompted to ask, what are the political organizing factors and what are the underlying cultural values or images at play?
Exactly. It pushes you beyond a single dimension to see the whole system.
So this sounds really powerful conceptually. But what does it mean for you, our listener? This isn't just theory locked away somewhere, is it?
Absolutely not. These social process triangles, or SPT, and their corporate versions, the CPT, were designed specifically as analytical tools, as interpretive screens for very practical use.
Okay, like what? Where have they been applied effectively?
Well, one of the most compelling examples highlighted in the sources is in global business education, specifically a graduate management course at the University of Maryland University College called Managing Country Risk.
Ah, interesting. And Dr. Clancy Mann and John Epps, who we mentioned earlier, they've been using the triangles in that course.
For over a decade, yes. It's a core part of how they teach students to analyze international business environments.
So how does that work in the classroom? What do the students do with the triangles?
Well, student teams have to analyze real domestic companies that are operating internationally. Their job is to use the triangles to identify the fits and, crucially, the misfits, the risks between the company's operations and the host country's environment.
So comparing the company's economic assumptions, its organizational structure, its corporate culture, against the country's economic realities, political system, and cultural norms.
Exactly that. The triangles give them that systematic framework to look across all three dimensions, economic, political, and cultural, instead of just, say, focusing narrowly on market size or financial risk.
And what was the reaction? Did the students find this useful?
The feedback quoted is pretty striking. One student called the SPT and CPT brilliant and invaluable tools for appraising the climate for business.
Wow, invaluable.
And for assessing the capability of organizations to respond to changing climates. They really emphasized something unique about these tools.
What was that?
That while other business analysis models exist, none has the comprehensive and relational nature of these triangles, especially how they show all the processes in their appropriate relations.
Ah, so it's the interconnectedness again, seeing how the parts influence the whole.
Precisely. And the students noted how often companies overlook the cultural dynamics and the role they play. that can be a huge blind spot.
Yeah, you can see how focusing only on economics or maybe politics could lead you astray if you miss a key cultural clash or misunderstanding.
Definitely. It really highlights the unique value of this three-part lens. But it's not just for global business risk.
Right. The sources list a whole range of other applications, don't they? It seems incredibly versatile.
They do. For instance, the ICA itself has used them extensively for its own internal research and planning. Applying their own tools to guide their global community development work makes perfect sense.
Sure. What else?
They've been used for analyzing broader social trends, helping make sense of shifts happening in society.
And for organizational strategic planning in general, not just international firms.
Right. Helping any organization think through its own internal dynamics and its relationship with its external environment.
I thought this was fascinating. Understanding social dynamics within a family or even just a household.
Yeah, that really brings it down to the micro level, doesn't it? Imagine applying this to figure out tensions at home. Is a conflict really about money, economic? Or is it about who makes the rules, political? Or is it a clash of fundamental values or expectations, cultural?
It reframes the problem, potentially. Gives you a different way to think about it.
Absolutely. The sources also mention using them to help any group get that broad perspective on issues they're facing.
Sort of a diagnostic tool for groups.
Mm-hmm. And even for training people explicitly in complex system thinking, helping them see the interconnectedness of things.
Also forging social philosophy, which sounds quite grand, but it makes sense if you're trying to build a coherent way of understanding how society functions.
Yes. And we already touched on managing risk in global expansion, developing those detailed market and social profiles.
Which the University of Maryland example showed so clearly.
Right. And maybe the most surprising one, helping elementary school students see the richness of their own social environment.
That's amazing. Mm. Taking these quite sophisticated ideas and making them accessible even to kids. That really speaks to their fundamental nature, doesn't it?
It really does. If a concept can scale from explaining global economics down to helping a child understand their community, there's something powerful there.
And it feels important to touch on the origins again, briefly. These models aren't just abstract concepts. They grew out of real work, real struggles, primarily through the Institute of Cultural Affairs, the ICA.
And specifically through a key figure, Joseph Wesley Matthews, one of the ICA co-founders.
Tell us a bit about him. The context matters here.
Well, Matthews came from a small, very religious town background. He actually pursued a PhD in theology and did missionary work early on.
Okay.
But it was his later experiences, particularly working in incredibly challenging environments like the slums of West Chicago, that were formative for these ideas.
How so?
He saw firsthand that the conventional, often superficial ways of thinking about human motivation and relations simply didn't cut it. They didn't work. He realized you had to dig underneath those easy answers.
Back to that psychologistic approach not lasting 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That direct experience drove the need for a deeper, more sociological understanding, the kind of understanding embodied in the social process model.
And this focus on understanding complex human relations and social justice? It seems it ran in the family.
It appears so. His brother, James Kenneth Matthews, was actually a bishop in the United Methodist Church, and his work also contributed to this broader legacy of global social justice and improving human relations.
So there's a deep history there.
Very much so. And to recognize that contribution, a symposium was held back in 2009 called Transforming the Legacy, People of Spirit in the 21st Century.
What was the purpose of that event?
It was partly to honor the Matthews brothers and commemorate the opening of the Joseph Wesley Matthews Archives, but also, importantly, it was about promoting the continuing inspiration of their ideas.
So ensuring that tools like the social process triangles weren't just historical artifacts, but living tools for today and tomorrow.
Exactly. It underlined their enduring relevance and impact for new generations trying to understand and act within our complex world.
And there you have it. We've taken quite a journey through these social process triangles.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how they offer this powerful, really comprehensive way to analyze and understand the dynamic interrelationships within pretty much any social system.
From a whole nation's economy down to a single corporate strategy or, yeah, even the dynamics within your own family.
And that core reminder,
reality
is found in the connections, in the happenings, not just in the isolated things or people.
And that overlooking certain dynamics, especially the cultural one, can be a really critical misstep.
These tools aren't just for academic understanding, are they? They seem geared towards gaining that broader perspective needed for more effective action.
Especially in a world drowning in facts but starved for wisdom, they help weave that raw information into meaningful fabric, just like Millet's poem suggested at the start.
So here's a final thought for you, our listener, to maybe mull over. Think about a challenge or a complex situation you're facing right now. Could be personal, could be professional. Mm-hmm. How might looking at it through this three-part lens, breaking it down into its economic, political, and cultural dynamics, like the social process triangles, suggest how might that give you a new interpretive screen?
A new angle.
Yeah, maybe an aha moment. Could it help you see beyond the obvious surface issues to the underlying happenings and interrelationships you might have been missing?
It's like cleaning your windows, right?
Exactly. As Isaac Asimov famously said, your assumptions are your windows on the world. Scrub them off every once in a while, or the light won't come in. Maybe the triangles are a good way to do some scrubbing.